Welcome to episode 7 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Last week, I talked about a set of portraits I just shot in London. Well, today's show follows up on that, jumping forward a couple of weeks to my return from an overnight stay in the city after a conference shoot for the same client. But first, I want to put out a request to all you adrenaline junkies out there. Question: are you mad on a mountain bike? Do you go fast through a forest track? And do you dash along a downhill? Well, towards the end of last week, you may have seen me put out a request for skilled mountain bikers to help me out on a set of pictures that I want to produce in the near future. I got a great response from people all over the UK, but I still want to hear from you guys, especially if you're based on the South Coast. So let's get on with this week's show, which follows me as I unpack my kit after this other shoot in London. The shoot itself involved photographing a conference, including book signings, delegate portraits, keynote speakers, and a banquet room overview shots, all of which brought their own mixed lighting and preparation requirements. So with a hot cup of tea and office cap by my side, I'm unpacking my various kit bags, describing the items which I used, or, as it happened, those which I didn't. But rather than just giving you an audio list of the items as I put my batteries on to charge, I want to give you some idea of the location I was at, the considerations it required, and the preparations involved on the night itself. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, Episode 7. So, I've just made my cup of tea, having got back from London after an assignment which I did yesterday, and I thought I'd give a little bit of background information as I unpack my kit cases and just maybe talk a little bit about what's been going on in the last sort of 24 hours. Cup of tea being the first thing, of course, because as we know, tea drives the great British workforce. So what I've got in front of me is just my kit cases here, all my chargers, and one very lovely office cat who is sat watching me doing all this, because that is, of course, his official capacity. So, yeah, a little bit of background. The client from yesterday was an international corporation who I've worked with a number of times, and the last time was actually a couple of weeks ago when we shot some Head & Shoulders portraits for use by their New York office. On this occasion, last night, it was actually their European conference, so I was asked to come along and photograph not only the speakers at the conference, but also they had a guest speaker who was also doing a book signing. So that was one of the extra things that was involved. The weather was pretty rubbish, it has to be said. In fact, it was torrential rain at the very start of the day, so I was a little bit concerned as to what that was going to do in terms of how wet I might actually be there, how wet I might actually be by the time I got to London. But it actually eased off by the time I was there, so that actually worked pretty well. So the first thing I did when I got to the hotel, I wanted to have a look at the space that we were going to be doing the photographs for the book signing. Now, I'd already packed and taken with me a backdrop kit, which actually I'm just going to unpack now. This is just a very simple sort of affair, which is in a long, as you can hear, zippered case, and it's just a couple of stands and some clamps and a crossbar on it. And I've actually got to unpack from my other bag here the material which forms the backdrop. In the event we didn't use this, which is kind of okay, it was there as a backup, as a contingency. And what I often choose to do with any shoot, actually, is if I can use existing backgrounds, that's all the better. When I first turned up and we checked out the first room that we'd be using, it was, if you can imagine, a fairly typical hotel room, conference room or side room. We used a table that was already there, which had a sort of a velvet tablecloth covering on it, and The only lighting that I actually needed to use in the event was a single flash gun. Being a Nikon user, it was a Nikon Speedlight. If you're wondering what all this noise is, I keep this particular this particular backdrop in a sort of a polythene sort of case. It's a sort of thing that's used to store clothes under a bed, if you can imagine that sort of thing. It's quite, you know, it's a basic sort of thing, but it does the job. So, single speed light was bounced off the ceiling, and it worked really well, because at any one time, the most we ever had, in terms of people being photographed, was this guest author, guest speaker, the person that was having their book signed, and on one occasion we had four people in the frame, but other than that, it was just two people at a time, which worked really well. We sort of, essentially, my colleagues who represented the clients, they sort of ushered people in, kept order, and that was really good. So I'd say, lugged all this all this extra kit up to London, but, you know, preparation is always the key, and it was, in a way, it was nice not to use it, because it meant that, having done a recce of the location of the rooms, once I knew that I wouldn't have to set up this backdrop, once the table was in place, the additional copies of the books were in place, then all I needed to do was just do a couple of test shots, think about the scenario of people as they came into the room and had their picture taken, and that was it, really. I also took along a couple of shoot through brollies and some stands, but again, didn't need them. So what else can I tell you about what I've got immediately in front of me? Those two brollies are going in their normal case, which is a standard zipper case. The next thing that I had to do once I got that sort of situation set up was to just go and have a look at the conference hall. I say hall, it was a banqueting room with, if you can imagine, a stage at the front with a podium or lectern there. Throughout the course of the evening there were I think about five speakers who represented sort of founders or partners of the corporation. And for that, there was no additional lighting. It was just the lighting that was available, and on this occasion it was separate lights set up by the videographer that was there, and it was okay. Shooting on a Nikon D3, of course, those of you that know, the noise or the sensitivity, the tolerance is fantastic. I think I was shooting at ISO 5000, which, if you go back a few years ago and you think of the earlier cameras, that's pretty remarkable to be able to shoot good quality results in that lighting. But as I say, working with the existing lights, I've got in front of me here my lighting kit case, which has got, as I sort of look at it, I've got three Manfrotto Nano stands, which are great for supporting the speed lights. I've got some clips here, which, if you know your Strobis equipment, you think of Justin clamps, they're essentially the same thing. They've got sort of a, I don't know what you call it, a spigot, or is a screw thread bolt, which actually attaches to things like super clamps. So I took along four of those, a couple of heads to go on the tripods if I wanted to use my speed lights remotely like that, a few odds and ends, some tape, three super clamps, and four pocket wizards, just in case I wanted to take the flashes off camera and set them up sort of remotely. Obviously, a lot of what we do now doesn't have cables. Used to connect up to with a sync cable to your remote lights. This is all wireless. There's a range of 1600 feet, I believe, one trigger on the camera and one on every light, but didn't need those. So that whole case, actually, I didn't, in the event, didn't really need to use, but it was good to take it, just in case. So what I've got here, my second case, I'm just hooking up all the batteries, double A's for the speed light. I actually only used one because the power of it was sufficient when it was bounced off the ceiling in the book signing shots. Apart from that, what else did I use? Oh, there was a as guests or delegates were invited in and as they were greeted, there was a registration area. So it was a big room, and I was actually pleasantly surprised that the light was enough, because it was high ceilings, or higher than I would have imagined would have been within the typical sort of range of these speed lights, powerful as they are. But that was the only other occasion that I used the flash for lighting my shots. Everything else was existing light. So I've got 5 AA batteries, which are from that speed light, that's on to charge. I've got a single battery from my D3. I don't know actually what on the meter how far that went down. I should imagine it only went down about 30 or 40%, if that, because they are generally, you know, pretty good. The only other thing I've got on charge, let's see, it's three things there. So yeah, the only other thing is a quantum turbo battery, which is used for quicker recycling of flashes, you know, so you don't miss any shots when you're trying to work quickly. For example, with the author signing shots there, people blink, people look away when you ask them not to, you know, it just happens. So what I always tend to do is shoot between 2 or 3 shots for everyone. So out of those 3 shots, you guarantee that you get a usable shot. So using the quantum battery pack, it just recycles the flash quicker, so you can shoot in quicker succession, and you're not keeping people waiting in that sense. So that's all my flashes and everything to charge. I am just going to grab a sip of my tea because I really am quite thirsty. So that's that. Right. So the other shots that I did were in the main, again, the main conference room where the presentation was actually turned into a banqueting room at a particular time in the day. I didn't do any room shots, or rather I didn't do any table shots of individual tables, because there were people who were eating. You know, I'm always a little bit wary, well, not wary, but you know what it's like, if you, someone says that they want to take your photograph and you're mid-chew, it's not a very flattering look. So what I did was I kept to room shots, wider shots, and for that I was using, well, you guys that are sort of technical, what have I got here? I've got a 10-20mm lens, so it's super wide, really nice shots. That is everything else on charge. What else can I tell you? Just going back up my pictures. So I've got my D3 here, and in this I've got 2 compact flash cards. I generally shoot on 4 GB cards because, yes, I could go for 8 GB or 16, 32, whatever, but I don't like to put all my eggs in one basket. So 4 GB is, it gets me about 200 and something odd shots per card, which actually is quite enough. I think I got through about, probably, certainly I filled up one card, but maybe I got through 2/3 of a second. So I'm just going to back these up. I'm at my editing machine, and I won't bore you with the details of all the folders and the scenario that I go through, but you know, it's enough to know that it's doing. In terms of the technical side, when it comes to the compact flash cards, the brand I use, you know, a lot of people swear by one brand or another. I've used various ones. The ones I'm using at the moment are made by SanDisk. They're very good. The Lexar cards are very good. But at the end of the day, my view is, once you've actually used a brand or a model of something and you're happy with the quality of the product that they produce, then I tend to stick with it myself. I'm not endorsing SanDisk as someone that's paid to do so. I wish I was, but it's just my personal preference. So those are on to back up at the moment. And As I look around me, I've got cases and bags and what have you. So I'm just going to carry on putting everything away, really. I will leave it at that and hopefully bring you another little bit of snippet behind the scenes just as soon as I'm back from another shoot or waiting to do another shoot. Sometimes it's nice to have this kind of catch up with what I've been up to, because when I'm in the frame of mind and I'm actually preparing to do a shoot, yeah, I'm aware that the client's going to be walking in, so I'm going to have to be talking to them, or I've got to set things up, and there's only a certain amount of time to do that. When I do this after the event, it's good because I can take a step back, think about what's been going on, and it sort of takes the pressure off to do just this, which is, of course, just waffling on about what I'm doing. But you guys are listening and you obviously find it interesting. So long as you do so, I will continue to explain a little bit about what I do. So that's it for me for now. And as ever, any questions, just let me know. So hopefully that's given you some idea of the kit and considerations typically brought into play on such shoots. By no means were those limited to conference photography, or to that particular assignment actually, but it is true that the same items and factors do crop up across a wide range of scenarios that I encounter on my typical day-to-day shoots. Now, there were quite a few references to specific pieces of kit mentioned in this week's show, but don't worry if you didn't make a note of them. As usual, I'll be linking to them in the show notes, and you can always send any thoughts and questions you might have. Don't forget, I'm still on the lookout for subjects to help me with my bike action pictures, so if you're based in the UK, especially in the south, and you're nifty on a mountain bike, I want to hear from you. You can check out the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, of course, I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. You can check out my Facebook page, Giles Babbage Photography, or as I say every week, the good old-fashioned email always does the trick, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and I will speak to you all very soon.